When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Happy Wednesday morning to you all. We are back here to recap the week that was so far in WWE, as we are a little over a week away until Bad Blood going down live in Atlanta, Georgia at the ungodly hour of 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. So yeah, get your lunch and your dinner ready just in case. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Ms. Jada Parker from NXT, someone who will not be covering the show at 6 o'clock p.m. next Saturday. I bring to you back on the Wrap, as always, the one, the only, the scout, Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salty.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm excited about the conversation. And yeah, them 6 o'clock PLEs are not for me. I'm going to go ahead and let you know that.
Well, they'll be for me. I'll watch it, you know, live. For the record, it's in my hometown, so I got to represent and hope it's a good show. I think it will be. The card looks nice, and we'll talk about it. Maybe not live on Saturday night, but definitely on Sunday morning. We'll have things to say about Bad Blood for sure. But yeah, that's an early start time because UFC is running a show at 10 o'clock and they're trying not to go head to head. I get that, but damn, a 6 o'clock p.m. PLE start time is insane. Okay, y'all can have that, but we'll deal accordingly and adjust in due time. But let's talk about a very busy week in WWE. We're going to start things off with Friday Night SmackDown on Fox, and it was going down live in Sacramento, California. I thought it was a very good show, highlighted by an unforgettable segment, which we'll get to momentarily. But we did begin the night with LA Knight defending the United States Championship against Andrade. I thought this was a very good match, one of LA Knight's best in WWE again, until a little slip on the ropes at the finish during that vertical leap that kind of went kablooey. But, you know, overall, I thought Andrade was exceptional in this match. He had some great near falls in LA Knight. I think he's really coming to his own after Money in the Bank, because we said beforehand, it kind of felt like he was lost on SmackDown. The entrance wasn't hitting. He wasn't over ice cold in terms of his performance in the ring. Not the talent, but him getting over as a personality. But ever since Money in the Bank and him working with Carmelo Hayes, it's really brought his game to another level that will make him a viable mid-card player on SmackDown as his best of. Now we can say most likely 7 series will continue this Friday on SmackDown. So overall, a very nice start to the show. A little funny with the ending because LA Knight has a hard time shaking someone's hand. He did it to John Cena about a year or so ago. And when Andrade went for the handshake, LA was trying to go for a fist bump, and there was some miscommunicado there. But overall, a very nice beginning to the show with Andrade and LA Knight having a very good match for the U.S. title.
Yeah, good match. Good way for LA Knight to get a nice defense under his belt. Andrade is, he's going to be in the Dolph Ziggler role, as far as what I can tell. He's going to be the guy that they're going to rely on to put on good matches every week. He's going to win matches, but he's not somebody that they're going to ever fully get behind, or at least it doesn't seem like it right now, but he's always going to be in the mix. He's always going to be involved. He's always going to be winning just enough to where you think he might take that next step, but he's always going to get beat by whoever that top guy is. So, and that's not a bad spot to be in, because we're going to get matches like this. We're going to continue getting good matches with Carmelo Hayes for the Best Of series. And they're even, you know, running it as that. So I like what they're doing with Andrade. LA Knight, his U.S. title is being ingrained into feuds over who is better, which is what the U.S. title is about. So everything about this mid-card scene, U.S. title scene right now, is working pretty well.
Yes, and having good matches on television and making sure they're having time to have these title matches and they mean something. They're not happening randomly. People are earning these opportunities for the championship, which makes sense to me. And LA Knight is a fighting champion, something that Logan Paul wasn't during his tenure as champion. Yes, he brought the belt around, you know, everywhere, but he wasn't a fighting champion on WWE television. But he did the one good thing by putting LA Knight over so that title can be defended and it can mean something on TV every time that LA Knight defends it, which is a very good thing in my eyes as well. So overall, good business to start the show, but great business, tremendous business, was the face-to-face confrontation between Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes at Georgia Tech this past Friday on SmackDown. This was probably taped the night before in Atlanta. It was just beautifully shot. Now, I don't know how they found snow in Atlanta in September, so that stock footage kind of exposed things a little bit. But yes, you know, Roman rode up in 7 SUVs as if he is the president of the United States of America. Cody rose up in his whip. And from there, they're having a conversation about Roman Reigns running Atlanta. This is my stadium. This is my field. This is my city. I run shit here. You just live here. Very Training Day by Roman Reigns. But Cody says, my family built this city for wrestling. Look at Techwood Drive. What was being filmed there? It was wrestling. What happened at the Omni? My family ran the Omni that's now known as State Farm Arena. This is home for me. So thank you for taking care of it for the few years you were here playing football at Georgia Tech, because you went right back to the beach when it was all said and done. I stayed here and I grinded, and now I'm here as champion. And I told you this was going to happen a couple of years ago, that you would be a chief without a tribe. You would have no family. You would have no one. You would be all alone. And now you need me, and I need you to have my back at Bad Blood as my tag team partner. I need you to be there for me. Can you promise me that? Can you do that? And Roman begrudgingly says yes. And I have nothing to lose either. I don't have my Ulafala. I don't have my wise man. I don't have Jimmy. I don't have anybody. So I really have nothing to lose. But this is on your neck now, more so than me. And so they have this face-to-face confrontation. And the end goal is basically Roman going back for what is his, which is the undisputed WWE championship. And Cody says, you can't fight for something that doesn't belong to you anymore anyway. And then as they stand face to face, Roman Reigns says, you're in my way. And Cody tries to cede the floor or field to Roman. And he says, no, you're in my way in life. And then the dramatic music plays and Roman walks away. I thought this was fantastic. You know, this was two guys out there just talking their talk, two confident guys that can back it up in every way. These are the two alphas in WWE, two equals that are just above the rest. And I loved everything they did to build up this tag team match for a Bad Blood. They do not like each other, but they're going to find a way to coexist for a common goal, take out the bloodline. But I do believe chapter 3 of this feud between Roman and Cody will continue, possibly maybe at Saturday night's main event in December.
Yeah, this is probably one of the best segments they've put out all year. I'd put it that high as far as stakes, mission statements, and just as far as just pure star power being out there. One of the things that stood out to me, I thought you laid that out really beautifully as far as what was said and how it was laid out. One of the things I thought really stood out was Cody, you know, asked him, who are you right now? You know, who are you right now? Because you're not the tribal chief, because we have a tribal chief. You're not the WWE champion, because I'm the WWE champion. You're just who you were before all this. You're just Roman Reigns. And you could tell that got to Roman, because right after that, Roman said, what do you want? What do you want from me? And it shifted his whole you know, vibe shifted from, yo, you walking on my turf, to, all right, what's up? What we doing here? What we doing? And Cody laid it out. You watch my back, I got yours. I this was really well done, and it needed to be done for Cody more so, to not only for the fans, for the fans to see and the perception to be seen that Cody not only knows who he is, but knows his place and where he stands right now. And now Roman Reigns does too. And I thought this was very important for Cody to establish that hierarchy as far as him being the guy, and everybody else falls in line, including Roman Reigns, who is no longer any of those things that he was when he was on top. So everything about this was great. Beautiful storytelling. The tag team match is going to be fantastic. First time ever these guys tagging. They've done a great job of building this up for their eventual trilogy match.
Yes, I love it. And I love how Cody's not backing down from Roman Reigns. He's not shrinking from what Roman is saying. He can back it up word for word. And I love that. And, you know, Roman begrudgingly respects Cody, but he still wants his championship back. And I'm here for that. But another great layer was after this segment was over, Kevin Owens is watching this on a monitor. And he's like, oh, so Cody is relying on Roman Reigns to help him when he needs help the most, after what this guy has done to me for the last 4, going on 5 years. So when he declined to be interviewed backstage, he goes out to the ring and he's trying to express himself, and yet he cannot when the Bloodline comes out there to attack him, which leads to our main event, which we'll get to momentarily. But they're still planting the seeds of Kevin Owens contemplating turning heel on Cody because of these decision-making skills as of late regarding his unholy alliance with the guy that has made his life a living hell for the last 4 years.
I could see this turn playing out very similar to how Sammy turned on Roman, except it'll be KO turning on Cody. I could see him having maybe Solo or somebody in the ropes and he's getting ready to hit him. And Cody's got his back turned, and instead of hitting Solo, whoever he hits Cody, I could see it playing out very similar, same type of scene and everything. But yeah, they are laying the seeds down. KO could use the freshening. You know, we're not going to go back to him and Sammy as a team anytime soon. So those two being on opposite sides, especially now at the current time and where they are in their careers, it could be a much needed fresh change for him. Bring back the prize fighter.
Yes, I would love to see it too. He's been a great baby face for the last couple of years, but I think he needs something fresh and a heel turn, but definitely help in that regard. And not only that, it's a way to kind of go full circle that the guy that basically cost you numerous championships because of his family, now Cody is aligning with him and you feel a way about it. It makes sense to me as there's a great backstory that just continues to feed the Bloodline story in a number of ways. And now this is a Kevin Owens revenge chapter on his former good friend, Cody Rhodes. I can see that happening down the road. That chair shot is going to hit Cody in the back eventually, and it is going to be a moment whenever it does go down. I do want to talk about the tag team match between Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton versus Bayley and Naomi, because whoever got the pin on Nia or Tiffany would earn a shot at the women's championship at Bad Blood against Nia Jax. And as we kind of guessed, we expected a screwy finish, and we got it when Bayley and Naomi both pinned Nia for the win, but Naomi's feet were on the rope. It was very like, how can you make this decision fairly when someone's feet are underneath the ropes? And then Nick Aldis says, since you guys, you know, both got the pin, I guess one of you has to face Nia. And the way to determine that will be a singles match this Friday. And whoever wins will get Nia at Bad Blood. And I am picking Bayley for the rematch.
Yeah, this is fine. Match wasn't that great, but everything was fine about it. They got the double pin to get to the match that we got this coming week. So I think Naomi might cheat. I think Naomi holds the ropes and beats Bayley.
Wow, you think that she cheats to get the W?
Yeah, I think they start doing the roll ups, and I could see her holding on to the ropes for a little extra leverage.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea at all.
Quick, like, hey, I got you. Type.
Yeah, I got to do what I got to do. Listen, we're friends right, and all that. But listen, when it comes to championships, it's over friendships. Okay, so I got to do what I got to do to get the W. And I could see that as a possibility. And I would be remiss if I don't mention what Bayley tried not to do a couple of weeks ago. She had the hand wound up to do the slap of the bootay, and she remembered where she was, and she just did a fist bump instead. Bailey's restraint should be admired.
Yeah. There's a reason that people aren't behind Bailey like that, because they would say the restraint wouldn't be there for her. I can tell you that. There's a reason that the roles are not reversed. Okay. But yeah, you're right. She did show good restraint. And Naomi probably would have went right on with it, like, oh, there you go. Hey. Hey, buddy.
That was a moment, because Bailey caught herself, the jam
she
was jamming.
She just went on and popped
it. She did. She, you know, listen, it was right there. The jam was shaking at that exact moment. You had the hand in position. You just could have slapped it, but it's okay. You held back. You held your own, Bailey. I'm proud of you, because you was about to slip on live television. You really was. But all right. Now on to the main event. It was supposed to be Kevin Owens and DIY versus the Bloodline. And DIY got beat up backstage, so we got the Street Profits instead. And we got a match that was, you know, good for what it was. Very exciting in spots. And then the referee decides to play by the rules a little bit too much and just say, throw this match out. It's too much going on when there was barely anything bad going on. But it just gave us the finish of Kevin Owens needing help down the stretch. Cody was in the building in Sacramento. The fans were happy about that. And as he made the save, Kevin had the chair wound up, ready to hit Cody in the back. And then he holds back at the last minute. He hugs Cody. And you wonder to yourself, how long is this going to take for Kevin to turn? We talked about this moments ago. I'm looking forward to that day. We'll be at a PLE, if I had to guess, when Cody needs his friend the most. That is when Kevin is going to stab him in the back and beat his ass with a steel chair. It is going to be violent. It's going to be brutal. And I'm going to be here for it.
Yeah, we got some time coming for that. It is what it is as far as this goes. Tonga was in the match, so there's that. But everything was fine. It's just extending the chapter, a good way to get Cody out there to show the fire and just to show the image of KO behind him with the chair, of just looking like, part of me really just wants to whack you in the back of the head, Sean Spears style, chairman style, but I'm not. So when he does happen, like you said, it is going to be a moment. It is going to, maybe not a moment, but it's definitely going to be like, all right, here we go. Let's see what we do next. And I am curious to see if it's going to be for the title or if it's after Roman beats him.
I am very curious. I'm looking forward to it one way or another. So a lot of moving parts heading into Bad Blood in Atlanta. And we still got to consider the Randy Orton of it all, because we thought he was going to be turning heel. But it might very well be Kevin Owens. So we'll see how it all goes from here in the weeks to come. Overall, solid SmackDown on Friday night. The move to the night back on USA Network, it is eating the viewership, because you're not on broadcast television. They'll stabilize in time, but it is what it is, with a possible proposal of adding a third hour to SmackDown in January on a Friday. Okay. Good luck with that sell. Because I might tap out at 10 and watch the recording the next day for the last hour. That's a lot to dedicate on a Friday night.
Yeah, trying to get 3 hours on a Monday, then you're getting 3 hours on a Friday. Yeah, that's not happening. I'm just going to tell you, that's not happening.
No, I'll definitely be clipping it.
I'll be clipping it.
Yeah, like, you're asking me now to sacrifice my 10 o'clock hour on a Friday night? No brain. No. All right, so that was SmackDown. The next to last show, a couple of shows to go before Bad Blood. So we got two more SmackDowns before we get it down to business in Atlanta. But let's talk about Monday Night Raw going down live in the Inland Empire, Ontario, California. And I thought this was a very good show. We had a hot start to the show with Liv Morgan and Dirty Dominic Mysterio coming out to brag about what they've been doing to Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest as of late, as the new Judgment Day. Rhea Ripley comes out and she's ready to make a proposal because she knows that every time she faces Liv Morgan for the Women's World Championship, Dominic Mysterio finds a way to get involved every single time. So she says, I have the perfect solution to this problem. Let's have Dirty Dom be suspended high above the ring in a shark cage. And Dominic says, I'm not going back. I've done this before. I've done time. I've been behind bars. I don't want to go back in there, okay? I don't want to go back. And I'm like, finally, in some roundabout way, we are going to have a warped custody for Dominic Mysterio match for the Women's World Championship at Bad Blood. And Adam Pearce has been doing a horrible job as GM as of late. I can no longer defend Scrap Daddy. He co-signs on this match. It's going down. And as Liv tried to get spicy with Rhea, Rhea headbutts her, and that made me very happy. And the match is on. It should be a very good match. But even still, despite Dirty Dom being in a shark cage, Liv Morgan will still find a way to win.
Oh, this is the perfect setup for Raquel. I think everything lines up perfectly for Raquel to not only show up, but to completely destroy Mommy. And then Liv Morgan gets her daddy back, and they both stand tall. I think this sets it up perfectly for it. I hope they don't try to extend this match too long. It should be a nice quick sprint. I'm not looking forward to it personally. I think this has jumped the shark a bit with the shark cage. So I'm good on it. But, you know, I hope this brings back Raquel, because I think Raquel versus Rhea would be a nice feud to take Rhea, to drift Rhea away from the title for a little bit, at least until the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I agree. Nice distraction piece, obviously. You know, you don't want to keep running this feud into the ground. It's got to end at some point, and this will be the way to do that for right now, with Raquel being that good distraction heading into the Royal Rumble for next year. And, you know, we're still teasing some big matches for Rhea Ripley. We got the Bianca angle out there, obviously, that I would love to see down the road. So hopefully that bears fruit one day very soon. But overall, great start to the show in terms of heat for this match heading into Bad Blood in a couple of weeks' time, as we get to our next segment, which is Sami Zayn versus Ludwig Kaiser one-on-one. This was a very good match, and Ludwig, you know, is highly underrated as a guy that can go out there and just fight and be bruising and violent at times. You slung Sami over that timekeeper's area and threw him against that chair. Sick bump to go to commercial break. And Sammy's a great seller. They went back and forth, went hit for hit, strike for strike. And it came down to Ludwig hitting an enziguri on Sammy for a very narrow near fall. And then Sammy comes back and lands the Huluva kick on Ludwig to get the win. And after the match is over, we have Gunther come out. He's in his wrestling gear. And he's like, well, look at you, Sammy. Look what you did tonight. You beat Ludwig Kaiser. And I think that's impressive. I think you've earned a shot tonight at this championship. I want to see it. I think you're worthy of it. I think the people want to see it too. Let's do it. And then Gunther says, well, not tonight. He laughs, drops off the apron, and he leaves. Perfect troll job. They're building anticipation up for this rematch, this time for the World Heavyweight Championship. I like the build so far. Will we get the match at Bad Blood? I don't know, because of Triple H's, you know, strict 5-match card limit for his PLEs. But to see these guys run it back with a bigger championship at stake would be a lot of fun to see. And the planning of the seeds of this has been good, with Gunther in some ways ducking Sammy because he knew what happened at WrestleMania. He lost cleanly, and there might be a sincere fear that it might happen again over this championship.
Yeah, this segment was good. Gunther was great. I want to talk about Kaiser, though. I think Kaiser, if I had to pick somebody to be a first-time champion in 2025, he would be my pick. I think he has got everything you could ask for. His facials, he's got the in-ring down. The crowd reacts to him. They care about what he's got going on, what he's doing, whether it's they hate what he's doing. And I just think he's ready, and he's next. So you know, regardless of what happens with Gunther, whether it's they get separated in the draft or whether it's he grows a set and smacks Gunther in the face, he's somebody I think is going to win their first singles title in 2025. Not world title, probably not, but I could definitely see him as a U.S. or IC champion in the next year.
I see it too. I really do. Bright future for him. And I think that WWE recognizes that as well. He's really good out there and he's not out of place, whether he's kicking off the show or being in the main event. He hangs with the vets out there and he's somebody that you can build a division around. And I can imagine at some point him and Gunther are going to go at it and he'll probably be the babyface in a situation most likely. So I'm here for it. I like the push so far. It's a recognition that bigger things are in his future heading into 2025. As we get to Drew McIntyre talking that talk heading into his Hell in a Cell match against CM Punk at Bad Blood, it was fine. You know, we've been talking about this feud for the last few weeks. I thought the Punk cut a good promo, if not a great promo, last Monday promoting the match as well. But at this point, we just kind of want to see it so it can be over and done with now. Give us the violence, give us the blood, give us what you're going to do, and then we can all move on. This has been predicted since this feud began, since they announced Bad Blood coming back, and since they teased Hell in a Cell only being used for special circumstances. This is a circumstance, and we're just kind of ready to move on from this, and let's blow this off officially at Bad Blood inside Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, not much really to add to that. The promo was fine. We are just kind of waiting on the match. Next week, I wouldn't expect to see either one of them. I think we'll get a great video package. If we do, it's just a bonus, just a plus. But yeah, at this point, we're just waiting to see the match.
Yeah, I'm just ready for it as well. You know, we've waited long enough, waited since Punk's injury back in January to get to where we are now. So we're a couple of weeks away, almost there. So let's just push forward and just get ourselves into a better situation for both guys heading into the end of this year. And I know that Punk was teasing a championship match against Gunther that might be happening, you know, late year as well. But we know that the match they're probably really looking forward to is when Seth is cleared to come back and compete. And that'll be the money match for WrestleMania if it was to come to pass. But let's talk about the New Day. The New Day trying to get on the same page just in time for their 10-year anniversary. And Kofi's all nostalgic with the bootios and the trombone and trying to get Xavier Woods back in a good mood. And Xavier Woods says, you know what? We had these things when we were successful, when we were at our peak. We haven't had a tag team title run in 3 years. We've been losing left and right. So we can't just rely on the great old hits of yesterday. Let's try to establish ourselves as major players in this tag team division, American made, who look like the most patriotic version of American gladiators ever, suited up in their stripes and red, white, and blue, is rolling up and ready to challenge the New Day and laughing at their expense. And you know, I've said this many times, but Julius gets double biscuits, double cheddar biscuits, for his backstage appearance as we head into the tag team match involving the Creeds and the New Day. I'm sorry. He was looking extra egregious back there. Just extra. Like, swag is like, Julius, come on, stop. Stop, please. It's insane.
I'm not gonna lie. I've been more intrigued with Brutus lately, so.
I mean, Brutus is coming along, but still, yeah. Julius was always that guy. It was like, okay, all right. Yeah, I see him.
I can't deny that.
Yeah, so they had a match. Very good. You know, it's a New Day, obviously, and the Creed brothers are always fun and reckless out there as well when they need to be. And it was a good win for American made, who needed to get something back after getting swept by the Wyatt Six in recent weeks. And this does build additional tension with the New Day to kind of figure out what can we do to get back on track. This is clearly a story now that is trying to build up to that 10th anniversary and Big E probably coming back to get the crew back together, to get them back on the same page. I'm here for the emotional roller coaster of it all. It's going to be a little bumpy along the way. And it got a little bit more bumpier when the LWO tried to offer a formal apology to Xavier Woods about what happened last week. And then Ray got Buck and says, well, I'll see you next week, Xavier. And Xavier lost it again. So I'm looking forward to this match, which should be great because Ray's stem cells have done wonders for his knees as of late. He's moving as if he's 10 years younger, and this match will be very good next week. Xavier will lose, and he will continue to spiral heading into the New Day's 10th anniversary in November.
Yeah, Xavier's loss could have some serious consequences. And I think he put out a tweet talking about he might go see some old friends and he's not a little boy anymore. And I think some of those consequences might cause him to go back to being a Creed and not one of the brothers, but Consequences Creed. He talked a lot about singles titles. He mentioned singles titles when he talked about Ray and how Ray's talking down them because he's a former world champion, and Kofi, you know, always trying to, you know, interject himself because he's a former world champion. Don't think I can handle myself because I don't have a singles title. I could see him going to TNA with this TNA relationship we got going on, maybe winning himself a singles title over there. He did say he was going to see him some old friends. Consequences Creed makes a quick, you know, comes back with a title. And see, look what I can do. This is what I can do when I do things on my own. Do it my way, you know. Maybe I'm doing too much fantasy booking right there, but I think with this partnership you got going on, Xavier Woods is a big enough name where he can make a little bit of a difference for TNA. I think you could do something with that. He mentioned singles titles, and then he put that tweet out talking about he's got some old friends to see, and he's not a little kid anymore. I don't know. I think there might be something to that.
I think so, too. I think it'd be like a great full circle moment for him to go on this excursion on TNA as well. I mean, it's benefited them in a great way, selling out shows. You know, they're selling tickets for their events. It might not be reflective in their TV ratings, but ticket sales, they're moving. This relationship with NXT has paid dividends for them. So I think when people ask the question, what are they getting out of it? More fans coming to their shows and selling them out and being engaged, which is good to see for them. So I think it's a good relationship. I do think they need a prime, big-time WWE star on that show, and Xavier Woods fits that bill. I also think about an AJ Styles as well, if he chooses to walk through that door again. I think they do need some big names from the main roster as well to really spice things up with that transactional relationship, which is benefiting everybody. But Xavier Woods going back as Consequences Creed, even for a short period of time, vying for a major championship, I'm here for it. Why not? And it just kind of builds to this story with the New Day as well, saying, I had to go somewhere to find myself, Kofi. Why don't you do the same? So I kind of like that tension being built up and how he's not trying to be relying on nostalgia, not trying to go back to what made them popular 7 or 8 years ago, because back then they were winning championships. Not so much right now. So I like this very much. I dug it, and I'm here for whatever's to come next. Heading into year 10 for the New Day and WWE, a faction who has vowed never to break up. And that is being tested right now via storyline.
Yeah, we're going to see.
Will they hold on? That's the question. Can they make it to the anniversary? Can they survive the fractures? We'll see. Prayers up. As we get to this amazing, amazing segment. So Braun Strowman and Bronson Reed have been going at it for the last few weeks. And they even kicked off Monday Night Raw with Braun tackling Bronson Reed over the merchandise stand. I mean, table flies, shirts go all over the place. It's hilarious. So they're brawling backstage, and it's supposed to be, for reasons I don't understand, The Miz versus Bronson Reed. Why, Miz? Why? But thankfully, Braun comes out there, says, this is what we're not going to do. And they get straight to fighting each other. I'm laughing, and they're going at it. We have like dozens upon dozens upon dozens of security guards. Like, these indie wrestlers earned a check last night, and they got paid up. And I'm like, good for you guys. Congrats. And Strowman and Reed destroyed all of them. Just whoop them up, threw them everywhere, knock them out. Braun was trying to superplex Bronson Reed. the security broke that up. I thought that Braun was going to go for a dive on the outside, and Bronson Reed backed up from that as well. But it is leading to a last monster standing match next Monday on Raw. I expect carnage, insanity. It's going to be a wild, wild match that honestly deserved to be at Bad Blood, but we're going to get it next week on Monday Night Raw. But the thing that got me, Scott, was the fact that the WWE marketing and graphics department just happened to know that this match was happening next week. They had Godzilla and King Kong walking through the waters and walking through the city, and they're superimposed 60-foot tall men, and they're colliding, these two monsters, and they had this hyped up like a freaking Hollywood movie trailer. And it's like, how did y'all know the match was happening next week? Did Adam Pearce just make this really fast? So they had this all commissioned, ready to go. The magic of television, I tell you.
Yeah, the last monster standing should be a great match next week. And you're right, but I'm going to play devil's advocate and just say that they were planning on having it at Bad Blood. And he was like, you know what? They're not going to make it to Bad Blood. We're just going to do it next week. Run the graphic. So that's what I'm going to chalk it up to, but you're probably right. And, you know, while we're talking about the video package, I thought it was fantastic, that as well. It really builds it up. And honestly, you know, the five match cards, they give you room to do this. So now you have a really big matchup on Raw, you know, an exciting matchup on Raw. It's give and take, you know. Yeah, I wouldn't mind. This should be on the pay-per-view, especially a Bad Blood pay-per-view. This fits perfectly, but this gives you a big time match on Monday Night Raw that you can promote and really get behind. And, you know, this isn't going to be flips. This isn't going to be a bunch of heavy move sets. And, you know, you're going to get some dives, but you're not going to get some moonsaults and stuff. You're going to get two hosses just beating the holy hell out of each other. Just Big E's going to be so happy at home watching this. And I'm excited. Like, I'm genuinely excited. I've been a big fan of Braun Strowman. I've sung his praises on this show for years, probably years at this point, since he came back. And I think since he's come back, he has been exactly what he's needed to be. He has been that upper mid card monster babyface who can take the loss, who can come back, who can be the monster for another heel monster to topple. I think he's been great since he's returned. No, he's not going to give you a classic, but he's going to put on good to great matches, and he's going to get a reaction out of the crowd every time. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great match next week.
I agree. Like, Braun's return to WWE has been great. I've said this as well. And he was one of my favorite big men in WWE. The last telling of his run did not do a lot for me. But when he came back rejuvenated, in great shape. He had a tag team with Ricochet, and they had great chemistry. You know, they worked well together, and it kind of helped him in terms of, you know, not putting a lot in his body at the time, because he was coming back from a very serious injury, fusion neck surgery is no joke. And he came back from that, and he was able to come through in a way that I felt was necessary. And he's one of the better big men WWE has ever had. I'm not being, you know, over the top when I say that. He has been there for some high profile moments, getting guys over, and Bronson Reed fits that bill as well. His best month ever, and he's being elevated via this feud. They're going to do some crazy stuff next week. You say no flips. We know Bronson can hit a moonsault out of nowhere. So I expect him to do a crazy spot in this match. Braun, not so much. He might do his running low drop kick. But I do expect Bronson to do something ridiculous. I do expect that, because he can do it. He has that in him to just blow your mind, besides hitting 55 tsunamis for the W. So I just want to know how dramatic this finish is going to be. It's going to be plunder galore. I'm here for it. And I expect explosives to go off too. I'm just saying. So fun times ahead.
It's going to be a great match.
Yes, absolutely. All right, let's get to our next segment on the show that I think will have people thinking some things. So it was the main event of Monday Night Raw. It was main event Jey Uso versus the Intercontinental Champion, Bron Breakker. Championship on the line. The 14-year journey for Jey Uso to win his first major singles championship in WWE versus a guy who's got next in Bron Breakker. And this match was great. This was a fantastic showcase for both guys. Probably one of Jey's best singles matches to date in WWE. And Bron, you know, he has stepped up big on the main roster, has not felt out of place one time. And I did not know who was going to win this match. I thought, like, you know, Bron just won this championship at SummerSlam. They're trying to build him up as a big time star. Do you want to get this belt off of him right now? But then again, Jey is so over. He's so popular. He's beloved. And you know, the internet noise is one thing, but the fans in the building tell a completely different story. And I've seen a lot of engagement farming tweets lately that is just weird. Like, your takes are weird when it's not playing out in reality in front of people that pay tickets to see someone. I see that with Cody. I see that with Jey as well. Like, I don't hear what you're saying online because it's not resonating. It's not matching at all. So I just think there's a lot of engagement farming in terms of conversation pieces going on social media. But ultimately, it came down to Jey getting hit with the spear on the outside and returning the favor to Bron through a barricade, hitting the spear, the splash to get the W. Surprising finish, happy moment for Jey. I was very happy that he got this big win, went into the crowd, was very emotional. Love the post interview he did with Jackie Wettman that hit social media and a little bit backstage as well after the show. But all in all, this was a great crowning moment for Jey Uso, as he is now for the first time a singles champion in WWE. And Bron Breakker, despite what happened, he loses nothing from this. I think that he's meant for more than being the Intercontinental Champion. And I think he might get the belt back maybe sooner the Bloodline gets involved. But we know he's going to be meant for bigger things very soon on this show. So I think he lost nothing at the end of the day.
Jey Uso is our generation's Jeff Hardy. That's, you know, the tag team guy who becomes the singles guy who has this innate connection with the audience that is deeper than any other babyface on the roster. He gets the loudest reaction every night. And every time he's had a title match, as close as he gets, the crowd is with him every time. Even when they know he's not going to win. Even when we knew he wasn't going to beat Damian Priest for the title, we were with him. We knew he wasn't going to beat Gunther. We were with him. We were with him the entire way. That's how we were with Jeff Hardy. And that reaction that Jey got when he won that title, that reminded me of Jeff winning that WWE title versus Edge and Triple H in that triple threat match. I think it was at Armageddon. Jeff had come up short so many times before that. Him and Triple H were in a feud. I remember Jeff was on the top rope about to hit the Swanton, and Triple H pulled him down in the pedigree form from the top rope down to the ground, pedigree 1, 2, 3. And he just kept getting closer and closer and closer. And then he finally did it. And this has that same feeling. And the way that just that connection, man, he is our generation's Jeff Hardy. Whether he stays a main event guy like Jeff Hardy did, I don't know. But the connection that he has, it's on that same level. It doesn't matter how long this run is, this moment will last forever. This will be something special. This will be one of the best moments WWE puts out all year. This will be hard to top. This will be right up there with Cody's win as far as emotional title victories. This is special. And like you said, Bron loses nothing. He'll be fine. If anything, now everyone should be more concerned, because look what he was doing before he won his title when he wasn't getting the competition. What's he going to do now that he done lost the title and he's pissed off? Great story. You have a ton of story you can tell with him that doesn't involve the title. He got the title. He's a former champion. Can't take that from him. Now you've got a ton of story you can tell about him being pissed off and going after something more. Everything about this was great.
Yes, I loved it. It was a great moment. And it was emotional. You know, we've had little kids crying about this. You know, he has this great organic connection with the fans that really resonates. And you can feel it when he comes out there, and when he cuts promos from the heart, they feel it. And I'm very happy for him. This is well deserved. How long is going to last? I don't know, but it was a great moment in time for him to win this championship. It was timed perfectly for him, and Braun is going to be just fine. And hopefully Rikishi can shut up, because he's been saying a lot lately. And it's like, dude, chill. Your son is doing just fine. No worries here. And now he's a champion, so you can let it go.
Oh, well, he didn't. He said he was upset at the way he won the title. So,
oh, my God.
You know, you can't make everybody happy. I just say we leave Rikishi alone.
Let him be the old man
that yells
at a cloud. Leave him alone. Leave him be. Like, let me have my peace. Okay. So we're going to let you have your peace, Rikishi. All right. Peace out to you. Okay. So Monday Night Raw overall was a solid show. You know, hardly any complaints for me as we keep that train moving towards Bad Blood in Atlanta as we get to the final NXT on USA. And it was a show. It was a show that existed, you know, trying to get that move to the CW. We had like a press conference mid-show, which was definitely interesting, which was like, okay, fine. Things were said. Matches were promoted. All right. Cool. That's all I got out of it, Scott.
I didn't get anything out of it. We can move on. I mean, what? What? They didn't even do him in the ring. Yeah. There's nothing to add. They didn't add anything. They just said some bad words and talked about their matches. There was really nothing to this.
Yeah, it was a lot, dude. It was a lot. It was
a lot of nothing.
It was a lot of nothing. You know, we had tag team matches. Javon Evans loses to A Town Down Under. It's like Alexander was right there.
Okay. No, that's fair. He was right there. Cedric was right there to take that. I'll give you that. They needed to lose the match, but you're right. Cedric was right there. He could have took that loss, but they just re-signed Cedric. So Cedric was like, listen, hey, I'm going to tell you what we're not going to do. Okay? Y'all just re-sign me, and y'all sent me. Yeah, I'm not taking this one. Y'all got to give that to the kid.
Cedric.
Y'all got to give that to the bouncy one.
Listen, Cedric, I love you, you know, but you should have ate that pin. Nah. You should have ate the pin, homie. Because now you got my brother Javon. Paid. Like, and good for you, got your bag. But at the same time, Javon is like up trying to get up here. And listen, we know in a couple of weeks in St. Louis, he's going to have that match against Randy Orton. He's going to take the most spectacular RKO ever. But at least heading into that match, you don't beat him. Like, you give him a little something. Don't pin him in this match. Don't do that. I mean,
nobody will remember.
I remember right now, and I'll remember 2 weeks from now when he loses. So after that, the ascent must begin, right?
Nah. Maybe we got some time for that. You can't have too many black wrestlers at the top.
Oh my God, stop it right now. Not the quota being met. You can only push one brother per season. Okay.
Women, we can do as many as we want, but when it comes to the... Listen, you notice how Sol Ruka, she only gets half a push half the time.
Right now,
I'm just saying. Like, you ever notice she gets like half of a push, and then you know they'll backtrack, and she gets another push, and they'll take it like halfway back.
Oh my gosh!
Okay. Shout out to my biracials.
Okay. Oh my God, I can't with you. Extra, extra, extra. Okay. Kalani Jordan also faced.
Shout out to my biracials.
Shout out to your biracials.
Is she biracial?
I don't know.
Oh, I was just saying that. She's probably not.
Okay. Well, that took a turn. So Kalani Jordan. Yes, you are. So Kalani Jordan faced Rin Sinclair for the Women's North America Championship. It was a fine match. I love Wynn's bootleg Dua Lipa theme music. Appreciate that. So came out there, had a nice match, you know, fairly smooth out there. You know, Kalani is being worked. And she's being presented as a champion that is deserving of that belt. We had reservations back at Battleground, but I think that she has been a worthy inaugural champion, and the right person will come along eventually to get that championship. We don't know who. We do have a big high profile name showing up on NXT on Tuesday that showed up during the main event contract signing between Julia and Roxanne Perez. But Kalani Jordan has done fine work as the women's North American champion. And this match last night between her and Rin Sinclair is pretty good.
Yes. Kalani's been a fine champion. I was completely wrong about her. She's done a real good job. I think she's gotten better. I like the fire she showed, especially last week where, you know, she kind of, you know, she got smacked, and instead of her being like, oh my God, I can't believe you did it, she was like, yo, let's do this. So she's gotten better, and I will eat my crow on that one. And I'm looking forward to what she does next, because I think she's done a real good job as champion.
Me too. I agree. So I'm looking forward to our next challenger, whoever that may be. As we get to the angle I teased at the end, which was the contract signing between Julia and Roxanne Perez. They traded words. You know, Roxanne talks that talk about, I've beaten everyone that has come across me in this women's division. I am unmatched. And you will learn the same, Julia, next Tuesday in Chicago when I retain my NXT Women's Championship. And then we get Stephanie Vaquer appear on the big screen, says, I'm looking at the next winner potentially, and you're looking at the next challenger as well. She'll be in the house watching this match. So things have definitely been elevated in the NXT women's division. We got a bunch of gunners out here that can shoot and work, and I'm here for it. So whoever's going to be the champion, Stephanie Vaquer will be in waiting mode immediately.
Yeah, you better be careful. The Pure Fusion Collective is gonna be all upset about them shooting their shots. So yeah, this is cool. I think they've done a good job with their women's division. HBK, I'll say this. He does a good job of paying attention to the women's division. His men, some weeks they just take the week off, but the women's division, there's always seems to be a direction. Especially when it comes to Roxanne. Like I think he's taking a particular interest in Roxanne and making sure that everything that she's a part of feels like arguably the biggest thing on the show, regardless of who's on the show. There's a reason they had her mixed up with CM Punk last week. Like, they're doing all these things on purpose. They've got the two high profile free agents that they just signed for NXT in the women's division going after Roxanne. And so they know what they have with Roxanne, and all this is very intentional as far as the spotlight and all that. Julia is a baddie, by the way. Say that every week. Stephanie, she's on her way to getting a restaurant as well. But the restaurant is still owned by Julia for right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy. And I'm here for it. I love the chaos of it all. I love that Sean is really emphasizing the strength of the women's division. We said we had some weak spots about 6 months ago, but it's been shored up nicely. A nice balance of vets out there that can go, and bringing up the next gen, who is going to be the anchor for this division for years to come. They're finding their footing again, which has been sorely needed, because they are the strength of this division. They are the strength of this brand, in all honesty, and we see that reflected. Now, the question becomes, Scott, who would you have in the main event spot? Will it be Trick and All Ego Ethan Page for the NXT Championship with CM Punk as your special guest referee, or do you end the show with Julia and Roxanne Perez? So one of them must open the show. One of them must end the show. What will be your preferred option?
I'm starting with the women. I'm going to start with that, because you know you got Stephanie coming out. And yeah, it would be great to have that as your show closing thing, but I'm gonna keep it real. I just ran on that little rant about making Roxanne feel like the biggest thing in the brand and all that. Trick Williams is the biggest thing on that brand by far. It's not even close. So I think Trick getting his crowning moment closes out the show. Roxanne having her final match as champion opens the show.
100% agree. So either option works for me, but I do want that Trick Williams coronation. I do want that to really mean something in front of a hot crowd in Chicago. First show on the CW, crown him. Don't play around. I know Scott has his dream scenario of maybe we have the North reunite. Listen, that would be the only thing that will prevent me from going off next Tuesday. So we'll see. We're going to wait and see what's going to happen. But I reserve final judgment until we see it. And I think that Julia and Roxanne Perez are going to tear down the house, give them like a good 20 minutes and they're just deliver. And I do expect a title change for them for that match as well, with Julia beating Roxanne Perez, and Roxanne can move on to the main roster, because it's about time for her to make that switch. It really is.
Yeah. And then, you know, if Trick Williams doesn't want to call Joe Hendry, then he can always call his frenemy, and his closest friend and his greatest enemy, Carmelo Hayes, and they can team up to take on the North.
Okay. You tempting fate with me.
I'm just saying, man. Listen, I just want Josh Alexander in NXT. He has no business being there right now, but I just want him there. But Trick Williams should 100% be crowned. You can still have the North come in afterwards, but Trick 100% should be crowned.
Yeah. Absolutely. Then we have our street fight with Wesley and Zachary Wentz. I do see Wesley getting the win back. I do. I have a feeling he's got to. Do we do a rubber match down the road? I don't know. Probably maybe at Halloween Havoc, spin the wheel, make the deal, and they just do something crazier than the street fight. But Wesley is definitely going to get the dub back in Chicago. It's the only thing that makes sense to me. And I love their promo exchange. That was probably the highlight from that entire press conference.
Well, yeah, because they're friends and they can just say whatever the hell they want to each other and they didn't care. But yeah, that's probably going to be the best match on the show. If I had to pick an early match of the night, that would probably be it.
Yeah, I agree as well. So I expect this to be a really hot show on the CW in Chicago to kick off the new era for NXT on the CW. The final show on USA, bittersweet, but I had a nice 5-year run and found their peak in the last year or so, found their footing as the show they were meant to be, and actually being competitive with Dynamite for the last 6 months of their run, which was something they were trying to do 5 years earlier. That really speaks to how things can change in 5 years' time. A show that was getting like their asses kicked every Wednesday. And if you try to put them head to head now, it would be very, very close.
And I mean, just keeping it a buck, NXT gave us one of the best episodes of wrestling WWE's had all year, when they, they souped up that one show to, when they did go head to head with Dynamite. And, that was one of the best shows that WWE has put on all year. NXT has been a lot of fun, and I know it's not coming to an end, but this USA era of NXT, there's something to be said about seeing the guys like Bron Breakker, Tiffany Stratton, Carmelo Hayes, all these people really get their start on this NXT brand, on this 2.0, with Wale and paint flowing everywhere. So this is something special. I enjoy seeing people's first matches and then watching them throughout their career. It's why Obafemi, it's why he's one of my favorite guys right now, because we're seeing him become a monster. We watched Braun become that monster. So this is great. We watched Solo become the guy he is now. We saw this path. Like this is what NXT is, and I'm looking forward to this next era on CW.
Me too. It should be a lot of fun. Me watching the CW on a weekly basis, I have not done that in a very long time, because there's not much for me to watch on the CW. So I got to get re-familiar with the station. It's changed dials for me in the last year or so. And we're going to see how it's going to deliver on the CW, see how those numbers are going to fare and shake out. But before we go, let's talk about one more item of business, Scott. So we got a certain documentary dropping today. Will you be watching the Mr. McMahon documentary on Netflix?
Yes, I will be watching it. Appointment viewing, no, but it will get watched. It doesn't, just from the information I've gotten, it doesn't seem like it's covering anything new. The first few episodes don't seem like it's going to be saying anything new. The last few episodes, I am intrigued to see, what they get out of it. But they're still talking about the screw job, So I'll watch it, but it's not going to be appointment viewing unless I start seeing some clips and I'm like, all right, let me flip that on.
Yeah. I'll probably watch it. I found out like it's not going to be like super long, which I'm here for. You know, I don't like long ass documentaries. You know, I like to, you know, get in and out. Let's give me my time, you know. So, hey, it should be interesting. I want to see how they handle the Janelle Grant situation, because we know that news broke when they was filming his documentary. I think it might have been like a bit a more rosier picture of his life. But even Vince says, well, I disagree. I saw it with my own two eyes, and this is not an accurate depiction of who I am. So it's like, okay, let us be the judge of that. So we'll see, and we'll talk about it when we can and offer our takes on the accuracy and the depiction of Vince McMahon, who is a very complex, controversial piece of trash, but has done a great deal for the industry. We cannot deny that, but he is a eyesore that deserves to stay gone, and we'll talk about it imminently. So we'll watch a documentary. We'll offer our thoughts when we get back together soon. But until then, it's now time for Scott to do what he does best, which is pick the best thing he saw from WWE this week, which is not going to be from WWE, but you go off, Scott.
No, Jey Uso, you know, that's what a moment.
Okay.
But no. That's the match of the week is definitely Tony Khan versus Reality. you could take your pick, whether it's, him wearing a neck brace for the day in the life of Tony Khan documentary, where he's really selling the neck, or it could be his Jacksonville Jaguars giving up 31 points in the first half to Josh Allen and just acting like a practice squad. So whichever you choose, Tony Khan versus Reality, Andy Kaufman would be proud of him and the gimmick that he kept.
Yeah. I mean, he'd be like, wow, that's how you do it.
So there's that. And we're having two Grand Slams, so...
Listen, one Grand Slam is 8 matches in, 2 hours? I don't know how that's going to be mathematically possible to squeeze all that in there. So it's going to be a tall order. But I also agree with you that Jey Uso had the best moment in match of the week with Braun Breaker as he becomes an Intercontinental Championship. So, yeah, I agree. But Tony Khan versus Reality, that is a close second for sure. And with that, on that shady note, is now time to put a wrap on this week's episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. I do want to thank my co-captain, the Scout, Salty Scott Young, for joining me as we chop things up to recap the week so far in WWE.
Thank you for having me. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm excited for the last Monster Standing. We got to see W debut next week. Next week should be a great week.
All right. Should be a fun one indeed. All right. So for myself and for Salty Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things WWE. We'll be back next probably Wednesday morning as we talk about the recap of all things that went down for the live edition of NXT on the CW in Chicago, the fallout from SmackDown on Friday. And of course, we got Monday Night Raw, the next to last show before Bad Blood in Atlanta. So stay locked in. Stay tuned to all things WWE. If you're going to check out the Mr. McMahon documentary, let us know, and we'll talk about that possibly on a surface level next week as well. So for myself and Salty Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things WWE. Until next week, take care and bye-bye.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMePeople, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.